the Reserve Bank governor, you know, despite how supportive interest rates have been of the economy up to this point, underlining the state of the economy and really pointing to some of the downside risks that persist: the longer than expected lockdown, limited energy supply, policy uncertainty, and slow vaccine rollout, with the latter having been exacerbated by the impact of the recent riots and looting as well. And while the president may have sat down with about 100 CEOs this week to talk recovery, as Cass Kovadia said to us yesterday, it was more a forum for everyone to air their grievances rather than looking at solutions. But could fixing South Africa be as easy as 1, 2, 3? Former partner at Goldman Sachs, Colin Coleman, has tabled a three-pronged approach. Before we get into your thinking here, the thing is, we know what the problems are, and the frustration comes with government being so slow to act. You have to be harboring some frustration right now, especially after we saw how it can erupt and how much further back it takes us.
Yes, thanks very much. This is not a time to be timid. We have to seriously tackle with bold steps and calculated risks a situation where the society's path is not sustainable at this point, as we have seen with last week's violent events, and we have to address the fault lines in the economy.
Colin, of course, part of the solution to building back confidence is to show that government has control of the situation. That's one of the prongs that you've highlighted in your strategy: a decisive assault on all threats to our national security and constitution. Has it shown any sign of that for you, where even sheer presence has been lacking?
Yeah, look, I think there was terrible security failures. Inability to mobilize effective security to protect vital infrastructure, vital economic infrastructure. Now, my understanding, for example, the distribution centers were effectively protected by private security, who have limits with what they can do when faced with guns. And, you know, it's essential in that situation to have the defense force and the police present, and calming the situation and quelling violence in order to protect, you know, infrastructure that takes 2 years to build and to stock. And that wasn't done, and it was thankfully due to private security that much of that type of infrastructure remains, or else we would have had food shortages in the country and the like. So we really need to see that the government brings law and order, you know, within the context of human rights to bear. We need a real overhaul of the security establishment and the leadership, and we need very clear steps to bring peace into communities, because without that, investment will not begin. Investment will be just a dream, and we have to get effective security established.
Colin, if we take that a step further and move even beyond that, you know, political will and capacity to a large extent perceived to be lacking, and that questioning how we even begin to push through any of the rest. Are you anticipating any cabinet reshuffle? Does it go as far as that?
Well, to my mind, it absolutely goes into all arms of the state where there's sympathizers of these instigators present, and by all about everything that we can see right into the cabinet, there were indications that, in my from what I could see, that there was stonewalling of the president within, and he has the prerogative to appoint his cabinet, and it's up to him. But I would be somewhat alarmed if in the next month we don't see a very significant change in the cabinet. I have no personal insight other than logic tells me it's necessary.
Yeah, because like we say, you know, you've said this before, you're saying it again, Colin, that government needs to single-mindedly drive pro-growth reform and economic stimulus. You've given the Ramaphosa administration this three-pronged strategy. Have you had any response?
Well, I'm quite sure that the authorities, the president, are aware of the proposals. It is up to them to process them. I've had a very strong response today after publishing this article in the Business Day from a wide variety of people, all of whom embrace the direction. They may have differences over the content. For example, I will share with you that there are significant voices that do believe that a wealth tax is necessary. There are significant voices that disagree with me that an unemployment relief grant is sufficient. Some believe that a universal basic income grant, not means tested, is required, and much higher than 800 Rand a month. So I'm sure I'm going to get criticized from the left as I'm duping, as is happening, and I'll get criticized from the right, people who will say South Africa can't afford it. But I'm absolutely sure on that point that having spoken to very large institutions in the world about this plan, that an increment of 2% debt to GDP on the current debt load doesn't change the substance of our problem. We have a fiscal and a debt problem, but we have to get growth going in order to change the equation. Remember, if debt remains the same, but growth goes down, the debt to GDP goes up. So we have to get the growth function, the growth denominator moving. And the stimulus is key to that. It's also key that we provide hungry people, as we've seen, with income that they don't have to steal. And it is an unemployment relief grant is a very practical way and will be a very highly received by the 11 million South Africans who do not have employment and have no hope of employment under this growth environment. So we have to get the growth model moving. And, you know, relief to the unemployed, relief to businesses, which is what I talk about, is a critical component. You have to do that within the context, as I've been discussing with these institutions, of a pro-growth plan. So there's a coherent interplay between establishing security, stimulus and growth in the country.
Colin, you've given us a bit of an idea there of the kind of economic stimulus you're proposing here. But when it comes to options to funding the unemployment grant, for example, will a 2% increase in debt and tax reform be enough?
Well, I have in no way suggested an increase in income tax, corporate tax, VAT, nor have I suggested a wealth tax. I've suggested two routes. One is through various forms of tax reforms to the rebate system, which will take time to implement, and therefore for the first year, it's not realistic. The second option is to effectively pay through the fiscus and increase our debt to GDP until such time as those tax reform measures can bring down the bill. Effectively, that will mean that our debt to GDP will go up in the short term, but effectively then come down as growth kicks in. And as I point out, Brazil went through this experience where they had effectively 100% debt to GDP and 2% growth rates. They brought about a stimulus. The growth went to 5% and the debt to GDP came down to 80%. So I think that the markets will absorb this if it's done in the right way.
Let's leave it there. Colin, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, former partner at Goldman Sachs, Colin Coleman.